Amen. Amen. Any other testimony or praise about this week? Any victories or any Sister Jeannie's? Any testimony or praise? Well, we're waiting for that one person to get convicted and actually listen to. Think about it this way. Let's go back to the first century Christianity. Talking about Book of Acts, Gospels era. What do you think the Christians did when they met? Every time they gathered together. There's no doubt about that. Book of Acts says that. They met all the time. The first day of the week, they met. And every time there was a need, they met. But what do you think did they do during that time? What is the purpose of why we meet? To praise God? Yes, Uncle Dave. Yeah, just thank God for who He is. When did Christianity become so formalized that when you deviate from the order of services, you feel kind of uneasy about it? How many think that Christianity has to be this strict sect of the Sadducees and the Pharisees where things have to be done this way, you have to dress up that way, you have to do it to walk? Do you know the Pharisees? They have a particular path that they walk. They can't deviate from that path, otherwise they sin. Did you know that? But how many of, I'm not preaching yet, I'm just saying. Amen? How many of us Baptists, fundamental, independent, Bible-believing Baptists, we get so into thinking that this is the Christian way. I'm talking about the order of services. And then years after you attend a fundamental Bible Baptist church, you wake up one day and you realize, why do we do what we do, and why is it done this way and not that way? And then you begin to act like a Catholic Baptist, not a fundamental Baptist. You know, we're going through the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholicism in Sunday school today, on this whole month. Actually, my brother's taking over that lesson. What makes us different from Roman Catholicism? What is it that binds every Roman Catholic and every Judaizer and every religionist? Rituals. Beliefs, obviously, the rituals, the beliefs, the rituals follow the belief. But ritualism. In Galatians, Paul rebukes Peter because he was a Judaizer. Get circumcised was the whole argument. Even to the Gentiles who were not bound to be circumcised. Okay. Anyway, I just thought I'd bring that up to help us think. I guess you can say out of the box, especially if you've been a Baptist for so long and you've done things just one way, and every time you visit another church that doesn't do it your way that you learn, what happens? You feel uneasy, right? Like, why is the pastor talking like that during church service? Why are the rest of the members speaking back to the pastor? That's unheard of or unseen of, right? But is it biblical? What did the early Christians do? What do you think the early Christians, if you are a Christian today, what do you think is the purpose of gathering together? Yes, Ms. Ruth. How about that? Through songs? Why do you think I ask you to give a testimony about something good or, your salvation? Why do you think I ask you to do that? Because when was the last time for some of us have we heard someone testify of their salvation? It's been a while, right? And then, unless you've been in this church for the past 2 months, then for a lot of Christians, it's been a while, right? Amen. Anyway, having said that, now that I've set the tone, let's sing another song. Does anybody want to sing a special? All day? Amen. I like this song. Go ahead and take an offering, and then we'll continue on with the service.
Across the
Amen. God is on time. In time. Amen. That's good. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verses 14 and 15. Actually, just look at one verse tonight. 1 Thessalonians 14, chapter 5, verse 14. The Bible says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly." Warn them that are unruly. Now, the letter was written to the church in Thessalonica, so the assumption is that he's writing to saved people. And he's saying that there are those among the saved, the unruly Christian. Do you agree? The unruly Christian can, Paul commands the Thessalonians, you've read it all. Number one, in this verse it says to warn them that are unruly. So number one is warn them. 1 Thessalonians 5:20 says rebuke them. Okay. Romans 16:17-18 says mark them. And 2 Thessalonians 3:16-15 says to note them. To note them. Identify that individual. Not from the outside, but from within. Remember in the book of Acts chapter 20, we read that, let's go there real quick. We've looked at this verse last Sunday. Go to Acts chapter 20. Verse 29 and 30 says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves," notice how it's coming from them. It is one of them. "Also of your," it's one of us, "also one of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not," look at that word, "not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Here's the reality of the Christian life in the church. There will always be an unruly Christian. Any church you go to, any local Baptist church you go to, any denomination you go to, any Bible-believing church that you go to, there is always going to be that one individual. If among the 12 apostles there was one, you remember who he was? There's always going to be one. Remember his name? Judas? Now, that's the sad truth. And not only is there always the spirit of the Antichrist within the church, amongst the believers, but then there's also that fellow believer who just does not know, who is just immature. You've read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Look at this real quick. It's right on the opposite page of your Bible. The Bible says that we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every, notice it says, brother. You see that? Brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition. Look at verse 15. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So he's not talking about Acts chapter 20, about that individual that creeps inside the church to infiltrate the church and to inject false teaching. He's talking about a brother, a saved person, a fellow servant maybe, a pastor maybe, a fellow minister maybe. Do you agree? That there are such people, there are such believers in the church. Not outside of the church, but they are in the church. And Paul gives the commandments of how to deal with such individuals. Go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Galatians 6, 1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness." Is it not? But do you realize that as much as we try to restore individual, there are individuals that, sad to say, cannot be restored and will not be restored, emphasizing the word will not be restored. You know, when we come across a church member, a fellow brother and sister in Christ that falls into a false doctrine or begins to backslide or begins to commit a sin in the open and in, well, maybe in secret, that but some people know about it, and is unrepentant about that sin, well, first of all, try to restore them is the first step. But after our attempt to restore that individual, you and I must come to an understanding, but that you cannot restore everybody. Did you know that? Because there's the will of man. There's the will in the heart of man. There's that flesh that still lives in us. That's what Paul says in the prior chapter of Galatians chapter 6. In chapter 5, in verse 17, he says, "The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other." So you cannot do the things that you would. There's this common this common false teaching that a Christian cannot backslide. Yes, you can. Yes, you can backslide. You can never lose your salvation. Once you're saved, you're saved. You go to heaven. But to claim that a truly saved person can never backslide, let me tell you, I've seen so many. And if those of you that are, you know, you've been a Christian for so long, you've seen more than I have seen. You know, brothers and sisters that you've seen faithfully get saved in the church, grow in the church, taught Sunday school, preacher boy, amen, singing a special number in the church, and next thing you know, they fall into sin, they're gone. And the church members and the pastor and the clergy and, you know, the leaders of the church, the elders of the church, they've made their attempts to try to restore that individual, and yet what happened? There are individuals that just cannot be restored. With our own efforts, that is. Amen? See, there's that stubborn will of man. That stubborn will of man, that thing called the flesh, it will do what it wants to do. It will do what it wants to do. And you can't do anything about it. So first is to make an attempt to restore out of the spirit of meekness. Secondly, understand that you will lose some. And thirdly, we have to minimize the damage. It's called damage control. Minimize the damage. Because what often happens when a Christian sins or falls? Someone said that when you backslide, you never backslide alone. When you backslide, oftentimes there's another individual there with you, sometimes more. When a Christian stops coming to church, he or she is so connected to that body of Christ that when that brother begins to disappear and goes through and struggles with overcoming that sin, oftentimes there's another brother or sister in the church that gets taken to. So in dealing with that fallen brethren, that backslidden Christian, yes, you have to restore. That's the number one step. And two, there's the you have to understand that you can only do so much. They are individuals after all. They have their own will. And three, our job as a church is to minimize the damage. Amen? just to minimize the damage. And if it takes rebuke, if it takes rebuke, it must be said boldly. Amen? It must be spoken in the open. 1 Timothy 5:20 says, rebuke them. First warn them and then rebuke them. Rebuke them. If they're still unrepentant, after rebuke, mark them. Mark them as that unrepentant Christian. The Bible says, withdraw fellowship in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. You know what happens in Christianity most of the time is sometimes we think we're so strong in our faith that we try to minister to somebody who has fallen into sin. And they go to the bar and we say, I'm going to go to the bar with him so I can win him back to the church. You and I both know what happens when that is the course of action that you take. More likely than not, the person that's trying to win that individual, that's trying to restore that individual back into fellowship, ends up falling into the same pit. Amen? And because you never backslide alone, you start off with one sinning brother or sister in the church that takes another, and that second person that is taken takes another, and then the third and fourth person takes another, and before you know it, a whole group of a big chunk of that body of Christ is taken away, is fallen, and is backslidden. So the Word of God has set up constraints and rules. Go to Matthew chapter 18. I hope you're learning tonight. Amen. Matthew chapter 18. Verse 15. It says, well, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. So the first step when you're dealing with the brother or sister that has fallen into sin, that is backslidden, that is struggling with sin, or has offended you, is to go directly to that brother. I like that. One of the things I really appreciate about our church when we first came here is I noticed that when there is an issue, you come directly to that individual or to me and address it, as I've seen you do it. When there's an issue, hey pastor, can I talk to you about this issue? Hey, sister, can I talk to you about this? Hey, brother Rommel, can I talk to you about this? Hey, brother Gary, can I talk to you about this? It's better and easier dealt right there and then than allowing it to circulate before dealing and tackling with that issue. And I'm only going to say it because I'm Filipino. It's one of the problems in our culture, in the Filipino culture, is when there is an issue, we can't deal with it. We have a hard time dealing with it. You know what we do? For those of you that are Filipinos, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You can relate with this. When there is an issue, you know what we do? We don't go directly to that person that we have an issue with. We find comfort in telling somebody else. Amen? And even before that person that had offended you, had an issue with you, finds out about your issue with him or her, the fire's already been spread. And by the time that offended or that offender hears about that issue, the whole church already knows about it. Amen. I'm saying that out of love. because I'm guilty of the same. We all have our favorite brothers and sisters in Christ that we like to seek counsel with. Amen? Ring, ring, ring. Hello? Hi, Sister Frank. Can I talk to you about Sister so-and-so? You know what? Or text message? Pastor, please pray for her. You know what we should do as a, if you're a Christian today and if you really want to grow in your Christian life, if a brother or sister does that to you, you rebuke them. Rebuke them. The first thing you ask is, have you talked to him or her? I tell you, so many issues and problems and divisions in the church can be avoided if we follow Matthew chapter 18. And pastors are guilty of the same. You know what a pastor does? I'm a pastor now. I'm not just being critical about pastors, you know? I'm talking about my fellow pastors. You know one of the things that the pastors do too? And missionaries. They find out about an issue about a church member or another pastor, calls another pastor or the missions board, and starts asking about that individual. And then the pastor that hears the counsel, that tries to give the counsel, the first pastor, then makes a second and third phone call to say, let me find out from Brother so-and-so. He knows about this guy. Amen. Let me take it to the personal level. Before you called me to pastor you, when we were coming into this church, a brother in Christ, a fellow Christian who's been in the ministry for so long, passed down the word through my family members, spreading rumors about this church. And yet that individual has never been in this church. Some of the pastors that you've invited to preach for you have spread rumors. I've heard from them before I've been in this church. And I'm saying that because I have to be true. This is true Christianity. It's out in the open. There are things that people say, oh, don't say that behind the pulpit. Don't. No, no. If there is no honesty in amongst the church, between the pastor and the people, we will never grow together. Before your trustees have asked me to consider being a candidate, there was a guy, a brother in Christ, that said, well, don't go to that church, don't take it, don't do it, because they have some kind of sin in that church that they're holding. And yet that brother who said that has never even been in this church. The first thing I ask is, how did you know? And who told you that if you've never been in that church? And I'm not talking about church members. I'm talking about pastors. Among the fellowship of the pastors. And yet we stand behind this, the pulpits, and preach from Matthew chapter 18. Right. Amen? The Bible says the dog returns to his own vomit. There's too much, too many hypocrites in the church. Too many Pharisees and Sadducees among Christians today. And it's sad. It is sad. But guess what? We cannot control them. Someone said that the only thing that you can control is you. As a church, the only thing that we can control is what goes on in this church. Like I told you in the beginning of my ministry here, I told you I could care less what is going on in somebody's church out of state, what issues they're dealing with, what's going on with their pastor, with that fellowship. I could care less. I will not be accountable to God for them. But I will be accountable to God for this church. Oftentimes, amongst pastors, there's issues that are disobeying the principles of Matthew chapter 18. I was invited to a fellowship of pastors, sent me a very formal letter inviting me to be a part of their fellowship. I'm still undecided if I was going to join that fellowship, because if that's the kind of practice that they have, I don't know if I want to be a part of that. After all, are we not supposed to be an independent, fundamental Bible Baptist church?
Amen.
Amen. Tell him his fault between thee and him alone, and if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Oh, so many issues can be settled right there and then if we follow this. But if he will not hear thee, then and only then shall you take with thee one or two more witnesses. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, there is a limit. Amen. Let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Mind you, that's coming from the words of Jesus Christ. There's a limit to restoring that fallen individual. There's a limit to it. Yes, do your best. Yes, as a church, do our best. Yes, pray for them. Exhort them. Try to restore them in humility, with the same humility as Christ. Comfort them, yes. But there's a limit to it. Thank God we haven't had an issue yet in this church that had forced me to do something like that. I thank God for it, but I tell you, it was only a matter of time when we're gonna be faced with an issue, and I have to decide, and we have to decide as a church what we're going to do. But at least I've laid down the standards. I've laid down what the Bible says in dealing with such offenders and offenses. If we are going to grow together as your pastor and as a church, make your life an open book. I'm making my life an open book to you. You consider the person next to you your brother. Amen. There's a lot of hesitation there. Do you consider the person right next to you your brother or sister?
Amen.
Amen. That's better. Well, if he or she is, aren't you a part of the same body? If one part of the body goes against another part of the body, if one part of the body does not communicate with the other part of the body, you know what happens? Or even worse, when one part of the body goes contrary to the rest of the part of the body, you know what happens? In the human body, there's this thing called cancer cells. They don't start from the outside, they start from the inside. They are a part of the body, but that cancer cell goes against the immune system of the body. It goes against the rest of the body. It sucks all the energy out of the body. Just the same way in the body of Christ, there's an individual that begins to suck all of the energy of the church because of their want and will to have the preeminence in the church, we have to deal with that individual. And I pray, I hope that you pray for me and you stand by me when that time comes when we have to make a decision. Amen? Amen. Amen. Maybe you're not saved today with every head bowed, every eye closed. Very simple study. Thank you for your participation. Thank you for being open. Thank you for growing with me, with one another. But thank God for the Bible. Thank God for the privilege to be a part of a church that is true and honest and open and bold without compromise. Thank God for this church. Thank God for each and every one of you. As every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. As the piano plays, would you come tonight? Or maybe there are some things that I've said that triggered something in your past that you haven't let go. You got to let those things go because it will become a hindrance to the growth of this church. You got to let those things go. As every head is bowed, every eye is closed, the pianist playing. Would you let that past issue go? Will you resolve it tonight at the old-fashioned altar? Maybe you're thinking about a brother or sister that had fallen, backslidden, and you've been praying for that brother and sister to come back and be restored. Would you give it to Jesus Christ tonight? Let him deal with it. Surrender it to him tonight. You've done your part. Surrender it to Jesus Christ. No turning back.